With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
The third round's the charm. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and today we've got not one, not two, but three rounds of mock draft gloriousness to get through today, and we're going to do it fast and efficient and with all the information you need for all your dynasty leagues, your redraft, and even more. And to help me do it is the King of Bros, Derek Brown, D-Bro himself, Scott Bogman, otherwise known as Boggs, and of course, Aruba Erickson is back again. The hair is slicked back today. You can see it on the YouTube channel, and he's also got the V-neck crew working there. So you've continued to bring vacation with you in this lifestyle, which is great because you're going to love this because the rest of your next year is going to be talking to caterers and wedding bands and things like that. So I can't wait to watch this slow decline of Erickson as he gets into wedding planning. Look how relaxed he is now. This time next year, forget it. But that's not why we're here. We're here to do a mock draft here, not to mock each other. Well, I can mock everyone because that's what I do. But before we do, I want to give a quick shout out to some of our loyal listeners, including the 14th Field Hospital at Fort Stewart, Georgia, Brooklyn Omar. I see you, my man. And from one Brooklyn guy to another, I want to thank you and all of your crew over there for keeping us safe and all of your service. So again, shout out to the 14th Field Hospital, all the guys and gals who listen to the show, I found out. So thank you again for tuning in, and thank you so much for what you do for all of us and keeping us safe. And also, while you're trying to do things for yourself, how about getting a rookie draft kit for yourself to get prepared for the season? Because at fantasypros.com/rookie, we've got that available for you right now. The NFL draft is literally days away now. That's it. Just days away. So you can't wait anymore. The rookie draft kit for your dynasty leagues. It's got rankings, trade advice, startup and rookie draft strategy articles, prospect and veteran profiles. It's got mock drafts, the latest news, the latest notes, and the content is free because we're awesome and we want to just give you stuff. But if you want that extra, if you want that little more, it's time to go premium. When you go premium, you get the entire rookie draft kit at fantasypros.com/rookie. Go check it out today. I'm telling you, once you get a little taste of the free, you're going to want the premium. So subscribe to Fantasy Pros. Be a premium subscriber there and go to fantasypros.com/rookie to get that kit. And of course, while you're at it, don't forget, we're going to be live doing draft coverage next week. So if you haven't already, subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros, and then click that little bell for notifications. We've got our live draft coverage coming up. All the podcasts are there. We got the short form content, the long form content. No matter what your level of tolerance for content is, we've got it at our YouTube channel, and we want you to be a part of it. And we love interacting with all of you. So again, go join our YouTube channel, subscribe, and watch our live draft coverage starting next Thursday night and Friday too. Oh, that's right. Two nights, because that's what we do here at Fantasy Pros. We do football. Now let's do a mock draft. So we are going to start with round one. We're going to start with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through round one like they always do, pick by pick. Then we're going to go into the second and third rounds and highlight the fantasy guys that you need to be aware of and those potential landing spots and what that might mean. So let's kick things off with the Jacksonville Jaguars on the clock officially now. And Derek Brown, you're up with the pick.
I'm just going to stick with the boring favorite. Give me the chalk. Give me Aiden Hutchinson, edge out of Michigan as the first pick. I'm not buying the smoke show of saying that somebody else is going to go there.
All right. There is a lot of smoke. The Trayvon Walker talk has gotten very hot lately. So, Derek, you are not concerned at all about that little smoke.
No, I'm not buying it. I mean, right now it's all smoke season. All we're hearing is rumors and, you know, considering sources and the reasons because of it. Yeah, I'm not buying it. Give me Hutchinson.
All right. This is that week before where things get wacky. Let's see what happens to the Detroit Lions at number two. Andrew Erickson, you're up for this pick for the Lions. So one edge rusher off the board. Where do they go next?
I'm going to go with Jermaine Johnson, edge from Florida State. And I know that Trayvon Walker is the popular pick here at number two, but you know, the question marks about his lack of productivity, I mean, bring up some question marks about whether he'll go number two overall. Obviously, he has the athleticism that you'd want from the number two overall pick, but so does Jermaine Johnson. Jermaine Johnson has one of the best 10-yard splits in this class. And if you look at what the Lions did last year in terms of drafting, they drafted a lot of guys that ranked really well in the 10-yard split. So you can take Jermaine Johnson's 14 sacks, you can take his athleticism, you can take it to the bank at the number two pick.
All right, so we had Aiden Hutchinson go first to the Jaguars, then Jermaine Johnson, another edge rusher, go second to the Lions, and he's from Florida State, high motor player. We've all seen that. He wins at the line of scrimmage quite a bit. Now, Bogman, the Houston Texans are up. You want to keep this streak going?
Yeah, and I'll go with Trayvon Walker here. I'll listen to Littlefinger and all of the rumors that are happening right now, and I'll go with the guy from Georgia. And by the way, Jermaine Johnson transferred out of Georgia because this guy was in front of him. Let's go with Trayvon Walker to the Houston Texans. I do like you going out on a limb, Erickson. That is Jermaine Johnson. That would be like an epic meteoric rise for Jermaine Johnson to go all the way at two. I could definitely see it happening. It would be weird, but the Texans are going BPA. Trayvon Walker getting a lot of buzz right now. So we'll go BPA for them.
Plus 2,500 to go second overall, Jermaine Johnson.
Yeah, just say that. There you go. That would win some money. Chaos is a ladder, after all, Littlefinger. And Trayvon Walker, that would be three edge rushers in a row. That's NFL draft history there. That puts the Jets up on the clock at number four. And Derek Brown, you're back up.
I mean, let's just keep repeating history here. I think the Jets are going to sit here and enjoy all the talk about how far does this player fall. I know we've had a lot of mocks right now, and we've let the slip go for too long. I'm going to snatch up Kayvon Thibodeau, edge out of Oregon. We know the Jets have a need there. I just can't see Thibodeau making it outside the top five, top 10. So let's go with Kayvon to New York.
Well, there's two ways of looking at it, right? If you're the Jets, you need corner help, you need rushing help. So you can either fix one with the other or vice versa. So if you go with Thibodeau, you hopefully get some more pressure on the quarterback and it takes some relief. And look, there's still plenty of corners left in this draft, but edge rushers seem to be flying off the board here in this one. So Kayvon Thibodeau, edge rusher from Oregon, goes next to the Jets. Now that puts up the New York Giants in the fifth spot. And Scott Bogman, you are on the clock.
Okay, I'm going to break it up here. So sorry, no more edge rushers to go, even though the Giants could definitely use an edge rusher here. But let's give them Evan Neal, the big tackle out of Alabama. He would be, you know, probably playing right tackle. Andrew Thomas over on that left side rated out pretty well last season. Matt Pert, however, was just OK. UConn product was ranked 58 out of 83 tackles, somewhat middling. So let's keep Daniel Jones on his feet and running, and Saquon Barkley get some bigger holes for him and give them Evan Neal out of Bama.
All right, offensive tackle from Bama, Evan Neal to the Giants, certainly will help that offensive line. Carolina Panthers at six need a lot of help. Erickson, where do they start?
Not a quarterback, because I think that ultimately they're going to acquire a veteran quarterback. And honestly, just based on this quarterback class, they could get similar production with Sam Darnold and a actual left tackle than drafting a rookie quarterback with no left tackle. I really don't think it's going to make a difference. I think Matt Rhule is going to be out regardless of what they do here. So I think it's just better to draft the tackle, the long-term answer at the position, and not just draft a quarterback that, you know, this team could be drafting quarterback next year too. So I'm not going quarterback here. I'm going to go with Ikem Ekwonu from NC State, the tackle, super athletic, stay within the, you know, he's close to home at Carolina from NC State. So I'm going to go with Ekwonu.
All right. Ikem Ekwonu goes next to the Panthers at 6. That brings up the Giants now with their second pick in the last three. And Derek Brown, you're up on the clock, and things look pretty good for them for their corner situation.
Oh, yeah. And we talked about this over the last mock. People can go check that out. Freeman brought this up as well. And I'm going with BPA here. The fact that Ahmad Sauce-Gardner is still on the board, the Jets are going to run to the podium. James Bradbury is an unrestricted free agent in 2023.
The Giants were up right now. The Giants are going to run to the podium. Just want to be clear.
Oh, yeah. The Giants are going to sprint with the card. Sorry, apologies for the other team in New York.
Same stadium, different team. Yeah, it happens. Exactly. That's okay.
Well, and both of them have really high picks. What about that?
Yeah.
Right. Both under 500 could use a corner. That's pretty easy.
Yep. But I think Bradbury, if he doesn't move on, this makes a ton of sense, because even if they don't trade him, cut him, which they could still save $11 million against the cap, makes a lot of sense. Both going BPA here, much less addressing a need and teaming him with Adoree Jackson for the seasons to come.
All right, so Ahmad Sauce-Gardner, Derek's favorite player, gets stuck on the Giants. Just to be clear again, the Cincinnati cornerback ends up there. Now the Atlanta Falcons are up next at 8. Again, lots of needs, Erickson, for the Falcons. So where do they begin?
They are going to take Jameson Williams, wide receiver from Alabama. You know, all the rhetoric about Williams is that he's going to go top 10. He's going to be the first receiver off the board. And I'm buying it, because this happens all the time. It's the guys that flash the big playability. It was Henry Ruggs 2 years ago because he was fast. And that's what Jameson Williams, even though he can do more than just be a vertical threat, he's an all-around receiver. He's a complete receiver, a complete number one receiver, which the Falcons are very much lacking in after Calvin Ridley got suspended for gambling. So they need help. They've already drafted Alabama wide receivers. Julio Jones is from Bama, Ridley from Bama. Let's make it 3 with Jameson Williams from Alabama.
All right. Jameson Williams flying up the draft board. I love it. Next up is the Seattle Seahawks with the pick they acquired from Denver at 9. So Scott Bogman, how do you remake the Seahawks?
You start a quarterback. Let's give him Malik Willis out of Liberty. Pete Carroll does not care. He does not care about your opinion about quarterbacks. He does not care about anyone else's take. If he likes Malik Willis, he's going to go up and get him. Obviously, they traded Russell Wilson. So Drew Lock is rough. So I like Malik Willis going here. And I think if he went to Seattle, I don't say that it should be this way, but I bet he starts game one, week one. He Ooh. Is the starter because he will smoke Drew Lock in that competition.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is saucy. I like this. Forget Gardner. This is where
remember, Russell Wilson was a third round pick. We were talking about it the other day. Matt Flynn, they backed up the drink right. stuff for him and then started the rookie over him, because Pete Carroll doesn't care about anyone else's opinion or who makes what money. Best players are going to play.
That's true. That's true. It's a great reminder, too. Flynn was paid a ton of money in that offseason, and then it was all the Russell Wilson show ever since. Let's go to the 10th pick here. Now it's the New York Jets. Now, Derek Brown, you can pick for the Jets. So what do you want to take?
Now I get the Jets. If Malik goes to Seattle, I'm just going to put this out there into the space. I want to go see if I can find betting odds on if we get a shirtless Pete Carroll at the draft. Just to say, throw some coin at that. But anyway, moving back over to the Jets, I'm going to go with the chalk pick here. Wide receiver at Ohio State, Garrett Wilson. Talked about this in my draft profile that's live in the Dynasty Rookie Draft Guide right now. You put airdrop him into this offensive system, and Garrett Wilson on his yak ability, his ability on crossers, and just what he can do with the ball in his hands fits perfectly into this offensive scheme.
Yeah, tremendous weapon for Zach Wilson there with Garrett Wilson. So Wilson to Wilson, that's going to be a very popular thing if Zach can stay on the field. So the Ohio State wide receiver goes to the Jets at 10. Let's recap the top 10 picks. Aiden Hutchinson, edge rusher from Michigan, going first to the Jaguars. The Lions taking Jermaine Johnson, edge rusher from Florida State. Then the Houston Texans taking Trayvon Walker, edge rusher from Georgia. Then the New York Jets at 4 take Kayvon Thibodeau, edge rusher from Oregon. Then it stops. And then we have a new run of offensive tackles. Evan Neal, Alabama, going to the Giants at 5. And then Ikem Ekwonu going to the Carolina Panthers at 6 from NC State. New York Giants at 7 select Ahmad Sauce-Gardner, quarterback from Cincinnati. Alabama wide receiver Jameson Williams goes to the 8th pick overall, the Atlanta Falcons and Seattle Seahawks. Bogman selected Malik Willis, quarterback from Liberty. Then Garrett Wilson, wide receiver from the Ohio State, to the Jets at 10. And that puts the Commanders and Scott Bogman back on the clock.
I'm going to go with Kenny Pickett for the Commanders. And the reason here is they met with all of the top 5 QB prospects at the Combine, but they only showed up to one pro day. and that was Kenny Pickett, and interviewed him there as well. So I think the buzz is there for them. They definitely need a quarterback. He is developmental, of course, but I think that's where they go here. I'm going to go with Kenny Pickett, QB out of Pitt.
All right, let's go to the 12th spot, the Minnesota Vikings. Andrew Erickson, you're on the clock.
Going with Derek Stingley, cornerback from LSU. If you look at the Vikings coaching staff, LSU defensive coordinator / defensive backs coach Durante Jones is understaffed in Minnesota after formerly being employed by LSU. So if there's anyone that knows about Stingley and how good he can be, as he was in 2019, locking down Jamar Chase in LSU practices, then it's the Vikings. So he's going to Minnesota.
I think I saw, is this true that Stingley did not give up a single touchdown last year, right, in coverage? That's pretty
sauce.
Impressive right there.
Sauce.
Oh, that was Sauce that did that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sauce was the one. Either way, that's pretty impressive for Sauce there. I mean, you got to talk. These are two very good cornerbacks. So obviously can't lose here. Minnesota Vikings can't lose with Derek Stingley either. Now the Houston Texans at 13, they could lose a lot of games this year, but it's time to start beefing up a little bit. Now they've already made one selection in this draft. So they've already taken Trayvon Walker. So where do they go next, Derek Brown?
I'm heading back over to the defensive side. Give him Kyle Hamilton, safety out of Notre Dame. Losing Justin Reed, I mean, one, it's BPA, and two, it fills a need for this defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, certainly best player available there at 13. Kyle Hamilton's a steal, no doubt about that. At 14, the Baltimore Ravens are up to pick. Scott Bogman, who are you going to select for your favorite team?
I'm going to go George Karloftis. I think it's a great pick. I think this team could use rotational edge rushers. I know a lot of people want to put a corner or a safety here. They're going to get a lot of guys back just from, the IR this season. So they will be greatly improved in the back end without having to add much there. So let's give them a rotational edge rusher and give them Karloftis.
All right, Karloftis, edge rusher from Purdue to the Ravens at 14. Now we get to the Eagles and Saints part of the draft. Let's start with the Eagles at 15. Erickson, you're up.
Going to go with linebacker from Utah, Devin Lloyd. If you played fantasy football last year, you wanted to play tight ends against the Eagles. It was a hack, and this is the Eagles' strategy to stop that from happening by drafting Devin Lloyd, who is a all-around linebacker and can do it all. He can cover tight ends. So, unfortunately, we're going to have to find another team to be our punching bag for streaming tight ends next year.
I'm sure we'll find one. Don't worry about it. And that little kid from the combine who was screaming at the GM for the Eagles will be very happy they selected a linebacker. All right, let's go to 16, the New Orleans Saints. Derek Brown, you're up next.
Chalk pick. Teron Armstead heading out of town. They're going to take Trevor Penning, offensive tackle out of Northern Iowa.
All right, one tackle leaves, another shows up here from Northern Iowa, Trevor Penning to the Saints. Let's go to 17, the Chargers. Well, they can't take Jameson Williams. So now I'm fascinated to see where Erickson goes next with this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Charles Cross, tackle from Mississippi State. You look at the Chargers roster, and it's pretty much loaded across the board. I mean, all the Jameson Williams picks are always luxury picks because it doesn't seem like they need a receiver. Just like, whatever, extra firepower for Justin Herbert. But the one thing they can upgrade from is at right tackle. Storm Norton was PFF's worst graded pass blocking tackle in 2021. So you draft Charles Cross, you flip him over to the right side. You got Rashawn Slater on the left side, and the Chargers offense. And the Chargers on paper, like they usually do, look unstoppable. So just keep your fingers crossed. They can stay healthy, and then they'll finally get to the Super Bowl.
Protect the quarterback. Charles Cross will go a long way in that. Now we're going to go back to the Eagles and Saints. Let's go to the Eagles first at 18. Scott Bogman, where do you go?
I'm going to go with the big wide receiver. Let's go with Drake London out of USC to the Philadelphia Eagles. And, this just gives them a big target. Jalen Hurts, not the most accurate QB, but Drake London is one of those guys that turns those 50-50 balls into 80-20 balls, 70-30 balls, that type of stuff. Great catch radius, big target for Hurts. I love it here. Let's go with Drake London.
A lot of percentages thrown at me at one time. I feel like that John C. Riley gif where he's looking around.
Those are my numbers. My numbers are just made up off the top of my head. So there you go.
That's pretty good. 83% of the time they're correct, I heard. New Orleans is up next year at 19. Derek Brown, you get to pick again for the Saints.
83% of the time, it's correct all the time. I'm going to go stay with the wide receiver position and give him Chris Olave, wide receiver out of Ohio State. I mean, let's just go, since we're connecting colleges here, like Ohio State wide receivers and Michael Thomas previously, I think Olave's skill set also blends well with who they have on the roster already.
All right, so Olave from Ohio State to the Saints, another wide receiver to complement Michael Thomas. Goodness knows they could use another one. Pittsburgh Steelers are up at 20. Scott Bogman, what's the pick?
I would love to see Devontae Wyatt. I told the boys last night it's going to be probably a weird safety, but since I'm the GM currently for the Pittsburgh Steelers, let's go with Devontae Wyatt out of Georgia. Give them a little flexibility. Remember, this team was the absolute worst at stopping the run last season, so let's get a big tackle in there to eat up some blockers.
I would love to see you be GM of the Steelers for one season just for the press conferences alone. I think it would be just magical. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Manscaped. It's NFL draft season, and if you want the 1-1 pick for your ones and twos, you know what I'm talking about. You don't want to take your pants off or take your shirt off and then all of a sudden see the fastest 40 time from your significant other that you ever seen in your whole life. No, no, no. What you need is the Lawnmower 4.0 from Manscaped, and it's available right now. 20% off and free shipping with that promo code JOEYP. 4 million men worldwide are using the most elite electric trimmer. Why aren't you? What's your problem? I'm telling you right now. You want to talk about great offensive linemen. You want to talk about great defense. How about the great defense for your body hair getting out of control and you looking like a hot mess? Now listen to me very carefully, boys and girls. Manscaped is the products you need, including some of their skin-safe technology on that Lawnmower 4.0. They've also got the Crop Preserver, which is anti-chafing ball deodorant, and the Crop Reviver, which is a spray-on toner so you look extra springy with a little spring in your step. Now look, Manscaped isn't giving this stuff away for free, but they are going to give you 20% off and free shipping. And that's also on the cologne, the body wash, the shampoo that's 2-in-1, and the aluminum-free deodorant. I mean, this is the greatest package for your package that's ever been put forth. And you can have it all with the promo code JOEYP. Again, that's 20% off and free shipping on me, JOEYP, at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. And now back to the action. All right, let's recap the last 10 picks. The Commanders at 11 selected quarterback from Pittsburgh, Kenny Pickett, then Derek Stingley, corner from LSU, to the Vikings at 12. At 13, the Houston Texans select Kyle Hamilton, safety from Notre Dame, then George Karloftis, edge rusher from Purdue, to the Ravens at 14. At 15, the Philadelphia Eagles select Devin Lloyd, linebacker from Utah, then Trevor Penning, offensive tackle from Northern Iowa, goes to the Saints at 16. At 17, the Los Angeles Chargers select Charles Cross, offensive tackle from Mississippi. Then at 18, you get the Philadelphia Eagles selecting Drake London, wide receiver from USC. Then Chris Olave, wide receiver from Ohio State, goes to the Saints right after. And then general manager Scott Bogman selects for the Pittsburgh Steelers Devontae Wyatt, defensive tackle from Georgia. That puts Andrew Erickson on the clock for the New England Patriots at 21. Now, who knows who went to college with somebody else who maybe dropped their transcript and picked it up and might be able to connect something here?
I mean, I'm not drafting one of these Alabama cornerbacks early in the first round to go to the Patriots. There'll be more times to put Alabama players to the New England Patriots. Trust me, there'll be plenty of opportunities to do that, but not right now. We're going to go with the cornerback from Washington, Trent McDuffie. Obviously, the Patriots right now, their number one cornerback is Jalen Mills, and that's not good. Like, that's not a recipe for success, losing J.C. Jackson. I think that adding in a guy like McDuffie makes a lot of sense. He didn't have a game last year where he allowed more than 39 receiving yards. So at 21, Trent McDuffie is the pick.
All right, Trent McDuffie, corner from Washington to the Pats. That puts the Packers up for 22 and Derek Brown back up.
They're going to address a need here. I'm going to stop the fall for Treylon Burks. Give the Green Bay Packers Treylon Burks, wide receiver out of Arkansas. Aaron Rodgers peppers the short and intermediate parts of the field. I mean, last three seasons, he has been top 13 in passing attempts inside of 9 yards. Treylon Burks was extremely effective in this and creating after the catch. 75% catch rate, 126 passer rating last year within 9 yards of line of scrimmage. Give Aaron Rodgers finally a wide receiver that can make some plays.
All right, so Arkansas's Treylon Burks to the Packers. That puts the Cardinals up at 23. So Bogman, what do you want to give them?
Let's go with a fun pick here. You know, I'm tired of some of these boring picks. Let's give him Christian Watson, the big wideout. And look, out of North Dakota State. Look, this is Cliff Kingsbury trying to, you know, hold on to his job. This is, you're making Kyler Murray happy. You're giving him some targets. And I understand they re-upped AJ Green for a year yesterday, but I don't think the corpse of AJ Green is going to keep them from drafting a wide receiver in the first round. So let's go with Christian Watson, the big target out of North Dakota State.
Oh, that was good. That's very funny. All right, let's go to number 24 here, the Dallas Cowboys. Andrew Erickson, you are up next.
I'm going to go with Kenyon Green, guard from Texas A&M. We'll keep it in Texas for Big D. They lost Connor Williams. They lost Lyle Collins. I think that they can shore up the interior of the offensive line. Kenyon Green can start from day one at left guard, finishing last year as the highest graded SEC guard in the draft class.
All right, moving on to the Buffalo Bills, then at 25, Derek Brown. What do the Bills do? They can have a luxury pick here if they want.
Yeah, I was debating corner here, but look, let's put the cherry on top of this Super Bowl-ready cake. Let's give them running back Breece Hall at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Iowa State. And look, give him, add him into this offense, and they've been wanting, with all their moves in the offseason, they tried to get J.D. McKissick. Now they got Duke Johnson. They're screaming to us they want a running back that can play on passing downs. That's not Devin Singletary. Sorry, people. So give him Breece Hall.
All right, Breece Hall. That is a fun pick. To the Bills at 25. That puts the Titans up next at 26. And Andrew Erickson.
Going to go with Jahan Dotson, wide receiver from Penn State. You know, we have this whole Instagram scrubbing for A.J. Brown of the Tennessee Titans. Who knows if he's going to be on the team next year? It doesn't matter. They need offensive weapons for Tannehill in the passing game. They neglected to draft any wide receivers last season, and we saw it basically be a disaster for them because Julio Jones couldn't stay healthy. Robert Woods is coming off the ACL injury. Let's get some playmakers in this offense. Go with Dotson.
Now, I tell you, man, the amount of dust-ups over when you remove a follow from something, it's just incredible.
It's news. It's news.
It is.
Now.
It is. It's unbelievable, but it's news. Let's go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, see what kind of news they're going to make, Bogman.
This pick is just because I want to see it. I gave them Jordan Davis. I did that in my mock early this season for Fantasy Pros. I just want to see Vita Vea and Jordan Davis on the same line for like two plays. That would be fun to see. How do they actually take up 4/5 of the offensive line, those guys. So I think this could be a potential cheat code in the pass rush game for the Tampa Bay Bucks, and I would love to see it. I don't know if he's going to fall this far, but I'm here for it if he does.
All right, Scott Bogman drew the duck blue because he wanted to see a blue duck, and he wanted to put Jordan Davis on the Buccaneers. That's
Miss
what
Lippy's
he
car
to do.
Is green.
That's right. Number 28, Green Bay Packers and Derek Brown. You have the pick.
I'm going to give them offensive tackle Tyler Smith out of Tulsa. Losing Dennis Kelly and Billy Turner in the offseason, they need to address the offensive line. So I like the pick here. You've already given Aaron Rodgers a wide receiver, and now give him some blocking help up front.
Okay. Well, Aaron Rodgers can be very happy after this draft. What if that's possible, if he can be actually happy. All right, the Kansas City Chiefs are up next with back-to-back picks. Let's start with Bogman for the first one. The Chiefs are up, Boggs.
I think this is going to staple his name to me going into this draft, but I'm going to reach for George Pickens to go in the first round to the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's give him an outside wide receiver with a little bit of size. Juju can play that slot and have Kelsey and Juju going over the middle. It's going to be a nightmare matchup for defenses. It's going to be a ton of fun. You have Mecole Hardman also in there to add some speed. So let's get Patrick Mahomes back on track with a big target in George Pickens.
That pick warms the cockles of my heart. Erickson, warm the cockles some more with another pick for the Chiefs at 30.
You go with Daxton Hill, Michigan safety. And this guy's really versatile. He can play in the box. He can play in the slot. You obviously saw the Chiefs lose Sorensen and Tyrann Mathieu in the offseason. I know they signed Jordan Reed, but you also have these other tight ends that you want, or excuse me, Justin Reed. Jordan Reed, poor one out for him, man. Great tight end. Too bad. He's probably still concussed somewhere. Oh, God. Sorry, tangent. Daxton Hill's the pick for the Kansas City Chiefs. Steve Spagnuolo really values using a lot of different safeties in their defense, so I think that he fits in really well.
The punchy vibe of this draft is awesome. I love it. Everybody's just completely punch drunk of draft coverage, and I love what's happening now. I cannot wait till we get to round three. All right, let's move on to the next one here. The Cincinnati Bengals at 31. Derek Brown, you're up next.
Any pass defense that is unfortunately forced to start Eli Apple needs to be amended. I'm going to give them cornerback Kyir Elam out of Florida. He stands at 6'2", but the guy can still turn and run. He's physical quarter, got some length. 4.3 40 is going to play on the field and get Eli Apple off of it.
I can't wait to see Eli Apple's mom has to say about D-Bro after this. So
I'll be watching. I'm sure Eli Apple's coming for those mentions. It's all good.
Yeah, Eli Apple actually just unfollowed Derek Brown. I just saw it as soon as this happened. All right, last to close things out here at 32, the Detroit Lions and Scott Bogman, you're on the clock.
Let's give him N'Kobe Dean. Alex Anzalone sucks. They've had problems at linebacker. And just look, the deal here is N'Kobe Dean is 100% going to pass the Dan Campbell vibe test. The dude is intense. Sure. He's a nice team leader. I think, you know, they said they want to work from the inside out. They went on Wazirki in the first round last season to improve that line. Let's give them a linebacker this time. We're building from the inside out for the Detroit Lions in year two of this rebuild. And I think N'Kobe Dean would be a great addition to this defense.
Yeah. They end with N'Kobe Dean. They started with Jermaine Johnson. That sounds like a pretty big defensive makeover in one draft. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Pristine Auction. My friends, there is no better place to go than Pristine Auction when you're looking for the coolest sports memorabilia that you're going to find anywhere. Everything there is authentic and backed by that certification of authenticity. And not everything there is super crazy expensive. I know some of you are on a budget, but that doesn't mean you can't have some fun and bid on some cool stuff. And when you use that promo code FANTASYPROS, you can start today and get $5 credits on us. That's right. $5, just start bidding with that promo code FANTASYPROS when you sign up at pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. It's quick and free to register. They've got amazing stuff on there. We're talking helmets, jerseys. We're even talking about baseball stuff, basketball stuff, college football, you name it. They've got it over there. And it's not just sports memorabilia too. They've got cool wrestling things. They've got art. They've got so many things that'll make your head spin, but you can't get involved and you can't get the cool stuff in your house unless you start bidding today. And when you do, make sure you use that promo code FANTASYPROS at Pristine Auction. That's pristineauction.com. And now back to the action. All right, let's recap these last third of the first round. The Patriots selected cornerback Trent McDuffie from Washington. Then the Packers selected Treylon Burks, wide receiver from Arkansas. Then another wide receiver, Christian Watson from North Dakota State, ends up with the Arizona Cardinals at 23. At 24, the Cowboys select guard Kenyon Green from Texas A&M. Then Breece Hall, finally we get some fun picks in here, to the Buffalo Bills at 25, running back from Iowa State. Jahan Dotson, wide receiver from Penn State, to the Tennessee Titans at 26. And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Jordan Davis, defensive tackle from Georgia. And that is going to be quite a line, that's for sure. Then you had Tyler Smith, offensive tackle from Tulsa, to the Packers at 28. At 29, the Chiefs select George Pickens, wide receiver from Georgia. And then at 30, they select Daxon Hill, safety from Michigan, Kyer Elam, corner from Florida at 31, to the Bengals. And then the Lions at 32 select N'Kobe Dean, linebacker from Georgia, which brings us to round two of the NFL draft right here on Fantasy Pros. So let's talk about Jacksonville at 33. Now here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go through the picks. We're going to pause on the ones we want to break down. Let's start at 33. The Jags select Quay Walker, linebacker from Georgia, another need there on defense. And at 34, the Detroit Lions select Matt Corral. We're going to pause here for the quarterback from Ole Miss. Erickson, you made this pick. Talk to me about Matt Corral and how long it's going to take for him to take over the reins from Jared Goff in Detroit.
Well, I think the pick on Corral is a betting on upside, because with Jared Goff, you know what you have with Jared Goff. Like, we know he's a pocket passer, statue, doesn't throw the ball downfield, can execute the offense to a mediocre level. Matt Corral can take the Lions to the next level, just depending on if he ends up panning out in the NFL. Like, we know he's a dual threat. He can make plays with his legs. He probably does it too much, honestly, for his own good, which is part of the reason why he's been hurt all the time. So that's something that at least he can offer, and he has a big arm. He's a big arm, really quick release. So if he were to enter into the lineup, I would be more optimistic about potentially seeing more of ceilings from some of these players, whether it be a DJ Chark, whether it be a Hawkinson, whether it be a Swift. Like, I could see the upside of this offense kind of going to the next level with Corral potentially under center. And because they have Jared Goff, they don't have to play a Corral necessarily. They can kind of reel him in a little bit, let him sit behind the veteran. And then if they decide to move on from Goff in 2023, they have Corral ready to go.
At 35, right after the Jets select Andrew Booth, corner from Clemson, then Derek Brown selected for the Giants, Boye Mafe, edge rusher from Minnesota. Boy, will he fit in well in New York. Such a likable guy and a great player. Then at 37, the Houston Texans, who have a whole lot of picks in the first few rounds, select Sky Moore, wide receiver from Western Michigan, one of my favorites. Bogman, talk to me about the Houston Texans selection here of this young wide receiver.
Texans need a wide receiver real bad. Obviously, Brandon Cooks could be on the chopping block here. And this is a guy, I know he's ticketed for the slot in the NFL, but he played outside as well. So when you get a guy like Sky Moore for the Houston Texans, you have a big guy like Nico Collins on one side, you can put him in the slot, or Brandon Cooks can move it in the slot to get maybe a better matchup, and you can have Sky Moore start on the outside. So he is going to fit in really well, and you give Davis Mills a nice target to throw to as well here. So I think it makes a lot of sense for the Texans to go on the offensive side and take a wide receiver here.
Now, Derek Brown, I know you didn't make this pick, but can Sky Moore be an immediate impact in this Texans offense in redraft as well as dynasty?
Oh, absolutely. I love Sky Moore's game, and I think it's going to transition fabulously to the NFL. I mean, once you put the ball in his hands, he looks like a running back in the open field. I mean, he was top three in missed tackles forced amongst all wide receivers last year. Teaming his skill set with Brandon Cooks is a fabulous fit.
All right. 38, the Jets select Perrion Winfrey, defensive tackle from Oklahoma. Then Iowa center Tyler Linderbaum goes to the Chicago Bears at 39. At 40 and 41, Seattle back-to-back picks takes Arnold Ebikidi, edge rusher from Penn State, then Central Michigan's Bernard Raymond, offensive tackle. That brings us to the Colts at 42, who select guard Zion Johnson from Boston College. And then the Atlanta Falcons up next. And Scott Bogman, you had this pick, which was Desmond Ridder, quarterback from Cincinnati. So why is Ridder the heir apparent to this quarterback throne here in Atlanta?
Well, because Marcus Mariota, we've seen what he can do. And the rumors are maybe they're going to take Baker Mayfield if he gets cut too. But I think even if you put Ridder and Mayfield and Mariota and these guys in the QB room, you automatically make them all better because they're all competing for the spot, right? So you're going to take whoever the best is. And look, the Falcons have a lot of needs here, and Desmond Ridder could definitely be the new fit for them. And I just want to, because I've talked a couple times, rounds two and three were collaborative efforts. So it has my name on it, but we're all going through this. D-Bro and Erickson and I met up last night to do this mock. But yeah, now, I mean, Ridder, I think, is a good fit because the Falcons absolutely need a QB, and why not take a dart throw on one here?
Erickson, do you think Ritter's a guy that sits for a whole year, or do you think he's a guy that actually might see the field in 2022?
Well, I think that the play here is similar. I think it's very similar to what the Eagles did when they drafted Jalen Hurts. You take a guy in the second round, you kind of see, all right, maybe we can get something out of this guy. We'll kind of see what happens. Like, you're still kind of in quarterback purgatory, but it's never a bad idea to take a shot on a quarterback because we see how valuable quarterbacks are. It's like you could draft like a receiver here, a defensive back, a linebacker, or something like that. But like Boggs said, the Falcons need help everywhere. So them taking a pick on a quarterback, he's still going to have value heading into next year, so they could trade him or do something
with him. And, you know, if they're picking very high next season, just to add on to that point for Erickson, you know, if they have their quarterback and Ridder's the guy, or they think he's the guy, now they can go get the best player available at the very top of that draft and not have to spend a pick on a QB, and they can add depth somewhere else.
Yeah, and he's going to have Jameson Williams, so he'll be fine.
That's right. That's right. And look, you can knock Ridder for a lot of things. One thing you got to say about him, you have to say it. He was a winner in college, won a lot of games for Cincinnati. All right, let's go next to the Cleveland Browns at 44. They select defensive tackle from Houston, Logan Hall. Then Daniel Falele, offensive tackle from Minnesota, goes to the Ravens at 45. At 46, Minnesota Vikings select Drake Jackson, edge rusher from USC. Louis Cine, safety from Georgia. Washington, the Commanders at 47. Then at 48, you have the Chicago Bears taking Kyler Gordon, cornerback from Washington. Jalen Petrie, safety from Baylor, going next to the New Orleans Saints at 49. At 50, the Kansas City Chiefs select David Ojabo, edge rusher from Michigan. So that's a steal there potentially for them at 50. Then at 51, the Philadelphia Eagles selected Jaquan Brisker, safety from Penn State, which brings us to 52. Scott Bogman selected Sam Howell from North Carolina. So I want to ask you first, we'll go round on Sam Howell. We just kind of did a round table mini version on Ridder. Let's do one on Howell here. Derek Brown, let's start with you. Your thoughts on this potential fit of Sam Howell in Pittsburgh?
I mean, I'm not extremely high on Sam Howell coming out in this class, but I think that he makes a lot of sense going to the Steelers because in Canada's offense, they want to feature motion. A lot of things that either Ben Roethlisberger did not want to do in the offense or that they just couldn't do because Roethlisberger is ancient. So I think Howell is a guy that, yes, he's not going to be thrust into the starting lineup in week one. They could start Trubisky, but like what I've talked to, or at least mocked a quarterback like Desmond Ridder to Pittsburgh in previous mocks, this pick makes sense as well, because you're getting a quarterback that not only can throw the ball deep, but he has mobility and he can do things with his legs. So I think it makes a lot of fit, or at least a lot of sense from being a system fit.
All right. Ironically, Scott Bogman, we joke about that Spider-Man meme where they're pointing at each other. We've got Trubisky, which is the original, and then Sam Howell's like the 2.0. So is this redundant for them to make this kind of a pick? Or do you think that Howell is exactly the fit for what they want to do, and maybe Howell could be a better, younger version of Trubisky?
I don't think it's redundant, because I don't like Mason Rudolph. So let's just upgrade the backup quarterback anyway, right? So whether it's Trubisky or Sam Howell, whoever the backup is going to be here, you have a backup that's better and can also fit into this Matt Canada system, like DeBro mentioned. And the Steelers, specifically Mike Tomlin, have mentioned so much, probably because they haven't had a mobile quarterback in many years, that they want a mobile quarterback. Sam Howell is the most mobile quarterback in this draft, outside of Malik Willis, of course, outside of the rest. They can all move pretty good, but Sam Howell is the only one that you look at and you get Tim Tebow vibes from. So, you know, I think he's like, you know, a little bit worse at running than Tim Tebow, a little bit better than passing at Baker Mayfield. You blend those guys together, and that's what you got with Sam Howell. So I can see the Steelers doing this, although, you know, even though I made this pick, I hope they don't. So I would much rather see a corner or a wide receiver go here. But it's very realistic. They visited with Sam Howell.
No, you're right. After you blended all those things together, I don't know if I want to drink that smoothie. I just want to tell you, like, I don't know if that's the way I want to go. At 53, Green Bay selects Travis Jones, defensive tackle from Connecticut. Then Christian Harris, the linebacker from Alabama, slips all the way to 54, New England. It's a nice pick there, Derek Brown. Well done. Then the Arizona Cardinals selected Nick Benito, edge rusher from Oklahoma. DeMarvin Leal, defensive tackle from Texas A&M, goes to the Dallas Cowboys at 56. Then at 57, Buffalo selects Tariq Woolen, cornerback from UTSA, which puts the Atlanta Falcons on the clock at 58. And Andrew Erickson, you selected Kenneth Walker here, running back from Michigan State for Atlanta. So Atlanta got themselves a potential quarterback in this draft, a potential wide receiver stud guy, and a running back as well. So they've remade this offense here in two rounds.
It's the new age triplets in Atlanta between Ridder, Williams, and Kenneth Walker. So, I mean, the pick here is, look, the Falcons cannot run it back with Arthur Smith has seen enough of Mike Davis, you know, run into a cloud of dust where I want an explosive running back. You know, this guy, remember, he was the coach with Derrick Henry, who was just ripping off these big runs left and right all the time, this explosive running back. That's what Kenneth Walker is. He's the best pure rusher in the class. I think that's the consensus take, and I think that's the right take. You know, super explosive from Michigan State. So Kenneth Walker can be their future bell cow. It remains to be seen if he'll catch passes or not. We'll see. I don't know. But he's going to be an efficient rusher. So I like the pick here.
That's RB1, Derek. Kenneth Walker, to you, sir.
Yeah,
I was going to say, not only RB1, but here's another question for you, Derek. And I was going to ask you this, because with Kenneth Walker's arrival, theoretically, in Atlanta, what does that do then to the value of Cordarrelle Patterson, who carried the ball so much last year? Do you see those carries just completely disappear, or do you think he still gets a fair share?
I think that, so down the stretch last year, Atlanta, they used Cordarrelle Patterson as more of a traditional running back. That is a horrible way to use his skill set. Throw him back into the Swiss Army knife role. We know the wide receiver issues that they have, even with adding Jameson Williams. So I think that that's the best use of his skill set. And honestly, that's exactly what you can do for the Falcons now with Kenneth Walker in the backfield.
All right. At 59, the Green Bay Packers selected Trey McBride, tight end from Colorado State. Boggs, let's start with you on this one here. Trey McBride, the number one tight end by all consensus marks. Certainly, now we just talked before about, you know, trying to remake an offense. The Packers need to. In this draft, they selected their wide receiver. They got some offensive line help. And now in this one, they get the tight end. Now, I know they brought Tonya back, but Trey McBride, obviously, I think could really up that game. Do you see them doing a lot of these big formations with the two tight ends? How would this work out for Trey McBride?
Yeah, I mean, look, the positive thing here is, while Trey McBride is probably more of a receiving tight end, he's not a bad blocker. So the Packers are going to run the ball a ton. We know that. They still have Jones and Dillon, and that is going to be the focus of the offense for the most part. But adding Burks and Trey McBride, like, this isn't two, you know, first round wide receivers or anything here, but this is two huge parts. You get one guy in Burks, who's my favorite wide receiver in this draft, and now you get the number one tight end on the board. And I just think this fits really, really well for the Green Bay Packers. And I know that this is a Debro special. He loves this pick. I was maybe browbeat a little bit into Trey McBride here. But I like it. I think it's a great fit.
Debro, go ahead. You can expand upon that. Why did you like this pick so much?
It just makes a ton of sense. You have Tonyan and Mercedes Lewis are both unrestricted free agents after this season. We know that Trey McBride is a three down tight end. He's going to be just as useful in the passing game as the run game. And I mean, I know I gave them a tackle and stuff, but upgrading the blocking help on the front end, as well as giving Aaron Rodgers a capable receiver that's going to be there long term that he could build rapport with over the middle of the field, from all different angles, it just makes sense.
All right. Jamari Saylor, guard from Georgia, going next to Tampa Bay at 60. Then at 61, the San Francisco 49ers select Martin Emerson, cornerback from Mississippi State. Roger McCreary, corner from Auburn, going next, back-to-back corners. That goes to Kansas City at 62. Then at 63, the Cincinnati Bengals select Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, offensive tackle from Ohio State. And to close things out here in round two, the Denver Broncos select Cole Strange, guard from Chattanooga. So round three is now upon us, and it starts with guess who? The Jacksonville Jaguars again. Derek Brown selected Dylan Parham, center from Memphis. The Detroit Lions selected Chad Muma, linebacker from Wyoming, and that puts the Giants on the clock at 67. Scott Bogman selected a tight end, Greg Dulcich from UCLA. I want to talk to you about Dulcich here for a moment. Andrew Erickson, get your take on him. He is largely considered the second consensus overall tight end in this pool. Maybe it's a lesser group. That's fine, but certainly he had a good career at UCLA. How do you see him fitting into this Giants offense potentially right away in 2022?
Well, I think that's you hit the nail on the head, is that he has a chance to actually be like the starting tight end. Because when you look at the landscape of the NFL teams, like the Giants are like one of the few teams, at least I was able to identify, where there's a easy path for a rookie tight end to actually become the starter, because all they have, they got rid of Evan Engram, moved on from Kyle Rudolph. They brought in Ricky Seals-Jones. Like, that's it. Like, and Ricky Seals-Jones, we weren't talking about at all until a bunch of guys got hurt last year. And then he was infiltrated into this role where he played on every snap in Washington. So we're not even sure if Ricky Seals-Jones is really the reason he was decent in fantasy. It was because of the role he was in last year. So I think that Dulcich, he's coming in as a vertical receiver. We saw Dawson Knox use it in a vertical role in the Brian Daboll offense with the Bills. We could see a similar thing with Dulcich, who was, that's what his role was at UCLA, making plays, splash plays down the field. So potentially a guy that Daniel Jones can lean on.
All right, let's go next to the Houston Texans at 68. Fedarian Mathis, defensive tackle at Alabama, one of my favorite guys, lands there. The Jets at 69 take Brandon Smith, linebacker from Penn State. Then Justin Ross, wide receiver from Clemson, to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Bogman, talk to me about Justin Ross heading to the Jaguars in this pick.
Come on, this is the easiest pick. You hook up Trevor Lawrence with one of his old teammates from Clemson. Hopefully he won't be, I know he's going to be off a lot of teams' boards because of the, you know, spinal fusion surgery that he had to have. I think sometimes when you just hear the word spinal, you're going to get crossed off from some teams' lists, right? So, but he was healthy enough to play at Clemson last year, which means he's healthy enough to be in the NFL. I think if he hadn't had that, he would be in the mix of the top wide receivers in this class. And I think this is a good snag, and I bet Trevor Lawrence lobbies for Justin Ross. So it would not be surprising to see him get selected here in the third round to the Jags.
All right, the third round pick number 71 overall is the Chicago Bears select Khalil Shaker, wide receiver from Boise State. Derek Brown, you made this pick. So how does he fit into the Bears offense?
Get Justin Fields weapons. I mean, the Bears, there've been a lot of rumors about them getting some big boys up front. I think we've accomplished that earlier in this draft. I mean, for this, Shakir is a guy that can play on the inside and the outside. I mean, 76% slot last year, 60% on the outside in 2020. He's been productive, and a guy that, being at Senior Bowl, I saw him separate in one-on-ones. He was winning all of his routes. I think he's going to be a playmaker from day one. And looking at all those pass catchers, I mean, I'm sorry, Byron Pringle's not it. Equanimee St. Brown is not it. Get Justin Fields a playmaker on the outside. Mm.
Yeah, lots of divisiveness right now about Justin Fields in 2022. Some people very much on him. Some people running in the other direction. It's going to be fascinating to see what the results end up being. At 72, the Seahawks select Isaiah Spiller, running back from Texas A&M. Erickson, this was your selection here for the Seattle Seahawks. So talk to me about Isaiah Spiller's opportunity and path after Rashad Penny's breakout season and returning Chris Carson to this backfield.
I mean, is Chris Carson returning? Do we know that? Do we have confirmation? I know he's been dealing with this. I've heard nothing about his neck injury. So, I mean, I don't really think he's going to being in the picture. Just, I think that the Isaiah Spiller draft pick too, or whatever Seattle, because Seattle's been connected to a lot of running backs in this class. So if it's not Spiller, I do think it's going to be another running back. And I think that's a telltale sign that Chris Carson is not in their plan. So obviously they brought back Rashad Penny on a 1-year deal. We know with Rashad Penny with the deal with him, he'll play great for 4 games and then he's on IR. So Isaiah Spiller at least gives you an opportunity of a guy that offers a 3-down skill set. You know, he's been used in tandem with another back at Texas A&M, but once he got to Texas A&M, he was productive. You know, he was productive from day one when he stepped onto the field, and he does bring some pass catching chops that even if when Rashad Penny is healthy or the Seahawks are using another running back, Isaiah Spiller can be that pass catching back in the Seattle backfield. And that's going to be part of their game because they're probably going to be losing in a lot of games next year.
All right. The Indianapolis Colts up next at 73. Select who, Scott Bachman?
Jalen Tolbert. And I'm just happy that I get to make this pick over T-Bro here, because we both love Jalen Tolbert. And this is a guy that's going to track the deep ball very, very well. And he's a nice fit. I mean, right now it's Michael Pittman and nobody. It's Ashton Doolin and, you know, Paris Campbell, who, you know, stays on the field less than Rashad Penny does, who we just were talking about. So I want to see Jalen Tolbert in this offense. He's going to stretch the field a little bit. He's going to make some of those crazy catches as well. Some definite highlight reel catches. Just throw, do yourself a favor. If you haven't watched Jalen Tolbert yet, just go and throw on a Jalen Tolbert like highlight video or whatever, because he is a highlight machine. Going to be a lot of fun to watch. And I think this is a great fit in Indy.
Yeah, could use another wide receiver in Indianapolis, that's for sure. At 74, the Atlanta Falcons select Jalen Armour Davis, cornerback from Alabama. Then Cameron Thomas, edge rusher from San Diego State, goes to the Denver Broncos at 75. At 76, the Baltimore Ravens select Nick Cross, safety from Maryland. Then Leo Chenal, linebacker from Wisconsin, one of my favorite guys, goes to the Minnesota Vikings, so they continue to add more defense in this draft. That puts the Cleveland Browns up at 78, and Alec Pierce, wide receiver from Cincinnati, one of Desmond Ritter's targets here. So, Andrew Erickson, let's get your take here on Alec Pierce.
Well, we know that Deshaun Watson has a very, very pretty deep ball, and that's what we saw Alec Pierce do a lot. And unfortunately, Desmond Ritter didn't always take advantage of Alec Pierce. He was open a lot downfield, and Desmond Ritter, unfortunately, ended up missing him a lot of the time. So Ritter, you know, you better not do that to Jameson Williams or I will find you. You better not have that.
You will hear from my agent. You will hear from my people.
Yeah, man. Yo, I got to get Jameson Williams. He's got to get his targets, man. All right. Besides Alec Pierce, though, he was a player that, you know, I really wasn't super familiar with early on in the process. Wasn't really on with him. And every time I kind of go back and re-rank my rookie wide receivers, he's someone that just keeps going up and up and up because I just really like his game. And I think it's going to translate really well to the NFL level. And especially when you pair him with a guy like Deshaun Watson, I mean, he's going to play over Peoples Jones, over Anthony Schwartz, because I think that he's just a more complete receiver. Whereas those guys are just speed deep threats where you could see them splashing off big plays. I could see a Will Fuller-esque type of fantasy role for Alec Pierce attached to Deshaun Watson. So it's something to get excited about.
Yeah, especially in Dynasty, that could be a name that might slip a little bit by people you might want to take advantage of if he does end up in Cleveland. At 79, the Los Angeles Chargers select Troy Anderson, linebacker from Montana State. And then the Houston Texans and Derek Brown selected Brian Robinson, running back from Alabama. Now, Robinson had a very good college career. So, Derek, talk to me about this landing spot here for the Texans. They get a running back. They waited. They got their other needs first. So this kind of fell right into their hands, right?
I mean, former Patriots personnel getting an Alabama guy? That never happens. Nah, never happens. Ever. But Ryan Robinson's a guy, like, look, you can airdrop him into this backfield, and I'm sorry, this backfield is the island of misfit toys. You have Marlon Mack, you have Dario Gumbalale, Rex Burkhead, Royce Freeman, like, good Lord, broken parts and pieces all around. Give them Brian Robinson, he could be a 3-down workhorse from day one.
All right, next up is the Giants at 81, who take another running back here, Zamir White from Georgia. So, Bogman, talk to me a little bit about Zamir White and what he could do in this role here, because Saquon Barkley, you want to talk about missing time, he's been the king of that. So is Zamir White kind of a sneaky ad here in Dynasty Leagues as maybe Saquon is on his, you know, last legs, so to speak,
oh, with the Giants? No. So first of all, let me address you. This is what you call gaslighting,
I went
by the way. This is what you call gaslighting. Joe is doing this to me on purpose because he knows I love Saquon Barkley. But look, you know, what you said is true. He hasn't been able to stay on the field. So, you know, Devontae Booker did a great job. I think Zamir White is a similar, you know, similar mold kind of to Devontae Booker. But this is a guy that the more I watch, the more impressed I am. Every single time I watch him, I recently on the Dynasty show with Pat, we were planting some flags. And Zamir White was one of my guys for sure here in this draft class because at Georgia, he split with James Cook, of course. But I mean, Georgia has two five-star guys. It's not a surprise that they both get work. This is a guy that could be a better pro than he was in college. He's got some speed. He showed that off at the combine. He can break a tackle. He's a 1-2 punch guy that can build onto his third down role in the NFL. And that is what I'm excited to see out of Zamir White. So a very good backup for one of the best running backs in the NFL in Saquon Barkley, who I am not giving up on yet.
Okay, that's fine. At 82, the Falcons select Darian Kennard. See how I'm unfazed by that? Guard from Kentucky, Kingsley.
Right. Just hop right over
Ogbare, edge rusher from South Carolina, goes next at 83. Then you have at 84, the Pittsburgh Steelers making a pick of David Bell, wide receiver from Purdue. Andrew Erickson, let's get your take on David Bell here. Certainly, they've got a few wide receivers. So, in your opinion, how does David Bell fit in with this group?
I mean, it's going to be just the Steelers once again, just clowning over the rest of the NFL when everyone is afraid. Oh no, David Bell, he's slow, but we knew he was slow. He was super productive at Purdue, despite the fact that he is not that athletic. And the Steelers are going to be like, yeah, no, we're going to draft this guy because he's a good wide receiver. And what do the Steelers draft better than any other position in the middle rounds is wide receiver. So for me, especially from like a fantasy perspective, if, you know, David Bell gets like the stamp, the Steelers stamp of approval, it's like, boom, like that's what you want to be in him because they've always taken guys like Deontay Johnson. You know, he didn't, you know, stick out particularly as a great athlete, you know, coming out of Toledo. And what do you know? Now he's the wide receiver one on the Steelers. They just find these guys because they look for the right, they pay attention to the right details, I think is the best way to describe it, their staff. And if they're in on David Bell, like I'm going to be much higher on him than the consensus. I'm excited.
At 85, I'm excited for this pick because the Patriots select John Metchie, wide receiver from Alabama, who had a wonderful career at Alabama. And unfortunately, just like Williams, also an ACL injury. Derek Brown, looks like the Patriots waited and waited and played the game and ended up with a wide receiver anyway that could end up being a true number one.
I mean, let's just keep connecting Bama to New England. But no, honestly, I mean, the Patriots, this feels a need as well. I mean, Devontae Parker is not going to be that guy. Kendrick Bourne, as much as I love him, is not a high volume target. We know they need to address the wide receiver position. We've seen them try to do that in the first round and crash and burn. Let's see if they could do that in the middle rounds this year.
You know, everyone keep it. You know, sometimes you're going to make bad picks. I mean, Kevin Harry's a bad pick. I mean, like, you should all just
speaking
move on
of gaslighting.
Speaking of gaslight, so there you go.
Out of way, D bro.
That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for.
86, the Raiders select Sean Ryan, guard from UCLA, then Zachary Carter, defensive tackle from Florida to the Arizona Cardinals. At 88, the Dallas Cowboys select Sam Williams, edge rusher from Ole Miss, which puts the Buffalo Bills up on the clock. And Derek Brown, you selected Calvin Austin, wide receiver from Memphis. So you made this pick. Let's start with you on this one. Derek Brown, talk to me about Calvin Austin from Memphis.
I mean, look, teams tried to counteract the Bills' offense last year, played a lot of too high, trying to keep everything in front of them. And the Bills say, okay, fine. We're just going to add afterburners, be able to go 10 personnel. Jamison Crowder's only on a one-year deal and throw Calvin Austin into the slot, reverses. And I'm sorry, I hate to do it to all the Isaiah McKenzie truthers, but this is Isaiah McKenzie, but actually, like, really good at football.
Come on, McKenzie's
sorry. Like, I'm not saying, like, this is what it is.
This podcast is getting personal towards the end here. Let's go next to the Tennessee Titans at 90. Jelani Woods, tight end for Virginia. Bogman, not a great tight end class. So, what should we expect from Jelani Woods here in pick number 90 here for the Tennessee Titans?
to catch some passes. He is definitely a receiving tight end for sure. Okay. This is a Bruce Feldman freaks list guy, gigantic tight end who is super fast and is going to be a mismatch nightmare for NFL teams. So I really think this is another dude that can be a much better pro than he was in college if he puts it all together. I mean, but these guys are in every draft, right? These big, super fast athletic tight ends, and then they get to the NFL and they can't get open. I don't think that's going to be what we have with Jelani Woods. I'm very excited to see what he's got at the next level. I think Tennessee is a very great fit for immediate fantasy return this season. Probably not a ton, but he will at least be a red zone target in his rookie season.
All right, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 91 select Jeremy Ruckert, another tight end from Ohio State. Erickson, whether Gronk comes back or not, can Jeremy Ruckert be a contributor early on in 2022 for the Bucs?
It's definitely a question mark. Most rookie tight ends don't produce their first season, so I would not be overly bullish on betting on Ruckert to, you know, post these massive tight end numbers, but he has the skill set to get on the field. Like, he has the three down skill set at all levels to be a sufficient blocker. He has really great hands. And the only reason he didn't produce more at Ohio State was because they had like three first round wide receivers. Now, similar issues in Tampa Bay, because you have Mike Evans there, but Chris Godwin's coming off the injury. You have Russell Gage. And if there is no Gronk, then I think there's an opportunity for Ruckert to at least leap a guy like Cameron Brate, who, you know, last year we saw him have spot starts and really do nothing. So really, if you get just all you got to do is get on Brady's good side and you can become a fantasy producer. So Ruckert, you know, he seems like he has his head on straight to be that guy. And we've seen Brady lean on rookie tight ends before. So I would be optimistic, but wouldn't necessarily be overly bullish on Ruckert, you know, breaking out in year one, but definitely someone I would like for dynasty purposes.
The 92nd pick, the Green Bay Packers select cornerback from Houston, Marcus Johnson. Then Ed Ingram, guard from LSU, goes to the 49ers at 93, which puts the Kansas City Chiefs up at 94. And Rashad White, running back from Arizona State. Derek Brown, give me the profile on Rashad White from Arizona State.
A running back with size, can play in the passing game. I think Andy Reid can have a lot of fun with him. And they've been needing somebody that they can utilize in the passing game. I mean, we saw they tried to do that with Darrell Williams. Unfortunately, for all my love as a prospect, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has not been that guy in the NFL. But Rashad White, we've seen him run angle routes at Arizona State. I mean, I think that he'd be a really good fit for this offense.
All right, Channing Tindall, linebacker from Georgia, goes next to the Bengals at 95. Then the Broncos at 96 select James Cook, running back from Georgia. Now, a lot of people, again, another divisive guy here, Bogman. Some people love Cook, some not so much. How do you see Cook fitting into the NFL? And more specifically, to the Denver Broncos, potentially.
I love James Cook. I am the opposite of D-Bro on James Cook here. So we are in agreement on Tolbert. We are in disagreement on James Cook. I just think he fits specifically a third down role, and I think he can be used as a slot receiver as well. And I think this is exactly the type of running back that we want to pair with Javonte Williams. This is almost a little bit too sexy, like Chris Kattan playing Antonio Banderas on Saturday Night Live from the 90s or early 2000s or whenever that was, a little too sexy. Nice. But I think that this is a perfect guy because this is a guy that will take occasional third down roles, but he can also play the slot. Maybe you give him one or two series, but Javonte stays on the field for most of the time. So I think not only does this help him matching up with Russell Williams and those other good wide receivers, but it also helps Javonte Williams. Like I said, this might be a little too perfect for this fit.
All right. The Detroit Lions at 97 select Kobe Bryant, cornerback from Cincinnati. Then Damian Pierce, running back from Florida, goes next to the Saints. Derek Brown, that's your Saints. Damian Pierce, running back, your thoughts?
Love this pick. Like, I love the fit. I mean, Damian Pierce, he's already been to the team on a top 30 visit. This makes so much sense. I mean, come on, guys. Let's craft the narrative here. SEC running back, underutilized skill set in college, plays in the passing attack, 23% in the slot or outside at college. Who does this sound like? I think that he's going to be.
Are you
fantastic.
Telling me that Damian Pierce is Alvin Kamara? Is that what you're trying to say?
I mean, my comp in the Dynasty Rookie Draft guy was basically Kareem Hunt without the college production. Ooh, so like not that. Far off. I love Damian Pierce's game, and I think that he is going to be fantastic in New Orleans' screen game and their passing attack.
I just like to say that we tried to give Isaiah Likely to D'Angelo Saint, and he threatened to burn our house down.
I vetoed that. They kept trying, and I was like, "All right, I'm not having it. Not having it."
All right. Isaiah Likely then goes to the Browns with the next pick at 99 from Coastal Carolina, the tight end. So, Andrew Erickson, how likely is Isaiah to make an impact for the Browns?
Yeah, I mean, we had to get Isaiah Likely in somewhere in this
somewhere.
In the top three rounds. Yeah. So the Browns took a bullet here for us because we couldn't get them to the Saints. So I mean, look, it's not going to affect David Njoku. Like, he's fine. Like, it's not going to affect him. Isaiah Likely is basically wide receiver tight end hybrid. You know, he's kind of in the tweener type of size range, but he is a talented pass catcher. And you just look at the Browns offense. I know we added Alec Pierce in this particular mock draft, but besides Amari Cooper and David Njoku, they don't really have a lot of established pass catchers. And we know the Browns like to just have a lot of tight ends. And look, maybe he could fall like the Njoku route where, you know, Njoku's entering year five and it's like we're still waiting for him to like break out. And he's still super talented, so maybe Likely kind of follows a long-term approach. Obviously, landing Cleveland's not going to help him in year one, but you know, maybe down the road, maybe he can do something.
All right, Baltimore Ravens at pick 100 select Cam Jurgens, center from Nebraska, then cornerback from Tennessee, Alante Taylor, goes to the Eagles at 101. At 102, the Dolphins select Darian Beavers, linebacker from Cincinnati, then Abraham Lucas, offensive tackle from Washington State, to the Kansas City Chiefs at 103. The Rams at 104, Josh Pascal. Edge rusher from Kentucky, pardon me. The Rams finally getting a pick here. And then San Francisco 49ers will close things out at 105 with Wandale Robinson, wide receiver from Kentucky. Scott Bogman, you made this selection here for the 49ers. Some of the buzz with some of the unfollowings on some of the Instagrams and social medias mm-hmm. means maybe the 49ers might be in the market for another wide receiver. Is Wandale their guy?
Yeah, Wandale is, Debo 2.0 here. He is a guy that can play running back. He can play wide receiver. I'm not going to call him Debo 2.0, Debo. Don't give me that look.
I mean, there's a lot of Debo 2.0s out there. I mean,
yeah. I mean, he's built in the same mold as Debo. I'm not going to say that he's going to have the same, because Lynn Bowden was the same way, and he was terrible, right? So, but I do think that Wandale has a ton of upside, a guy that started his career in Nebraska, transferred to Kentucky. And I just think he was underutilized in both those spots. I think this is another guy that can be a much better pro with a decent NFL skill set than he was utilized in college, because he'll be surrounded by better players. And look, this is a good squad in San Francisco, but if they do end up trading Debo, they're going to want someone to be in that role. And I think Wandale Robinson is a guy that can eventually get to some of that usage. I don't know if he'll ever get anywhere close to holding a candle to what Debo has done in the NFL, but he at least has the same type of skill set to do that job.
Well, I like the idea of Debo clones. That's for Debro clones, on the other hand. Scare the hell out of me, man. Keep me up at night all the time. Now, if you need
giant hats,
more content, giant hats for their giant heads. Now, if you need more information for your giant head regarding Dynasty Rookies and the draft that's coming up, the Dynasty Rookie Draft Kit is the place to go for even deeper dives and more content at fantasypros.com/rookie. And that's available for free. Again, it's got all the draft strategy articles. It's got prospect and veteran profiles, the mock drafts, the news, the notes, trade advice, everything you could possibly imagine. It's all there at fantasypros.com/rookie. But once again, if you want the premium content, you got to be a premium subscriber. So be premium, baby. Go premium at fantasypros.com/rookie and get everything you need to be successful in all your dynasty leagues. And while you're at it, don't forget, we're going to be here live for the NFL draft. And of course, all of our podcasts are always on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros. But subscribe so you know when our draft coverage starts. Click that little notifications bell. It makes us very happy. And if you enjoyed this video, like it, because it's literally the least you can do. So go ahead and just like this video. And again, be a subscriber here at Fantasy Pros on our YouTube channel. Our draft coverage is going to be extraordinary this year on Thursday Night Live, on Friday Night Live. Who knows if we're all still standing on Saturday, what happens? But I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com, use that promo code JOEYP and get 20% off and free shipping, because your balls and everyone you know will thank you. And also don't forget about Pristine Auction. Head over to pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Use that promo code FANTASYPROS to get a $5 credit on us and start bidding on the coolest memorabilia you've ever seen in your whole life. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Scott Bogman, Andrew Erickson, and Derek Brown, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.